Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Now, back to the Jason and John Show. Jason Smith and John Martin. With all guests appearing on the BetQL phone line. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Jason Smith and John Martin on 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis' sports station.
Brian Windhorst covers the NBA for ESPN and ESPN.com. Let's make him the giant interview.
Now, it's the giant interview presented by A-Team Roofing. Online at ateamroofers.com. The A-Team Roofing giant interview on 92.9's Jason and John Show.
Brian, the news seemed to have broke last night. I guess nobody really noticed or cared enough to say anything. But the Dallas Mavericks have ceased playing the national anthem before games. I guess I would just ask you, do you think this is something that catches on, or do you think this is something that stays in Dallas? Just what have you heard around the league as it relates to this topic?
Well, it's something that people in the league have been talking about for a while. It was a question of before the bubble of whether it was going to continue because there's no fans. You're not just playing it for the fans. Obviously, you're playing it for the players as well. But it's a moment for fans too. And there's different people have different opinions on this, and I think it might end up being regional. I do not expect the Mavericks to be the only team that does it. I'll be interested to find out. I don't know whether or not the league was informed of it or had to give its approval. But teams have control of their own operations. Mm-hmm. And so I do expect other teams to follow, but I do not expect it to be universal because I think that we've seen very, very acutely in our country in the last few years that different regions of the country feel differently about this, about these sorts of topics. So I know that some college teams have started not coming out for the national anthem. And then there's been NFL teams that have done the same thing where the national anthem is still played, but the players aren't on the field. So, it's a fascinating thing. It's obviously a very polarizing thing. My own personal view on this, I believe sports should be free of politics. There are certain times when the situation is so important to the participants that they feel that they need to make a political statement, and it is absolutely their right to do that, and I support their right to do that, and that's, can be done. For me, I think that sports should be unifying and should be an escape. But it's harder and harder to do that in 2020, 2021, so I understand why people are going to have different viewpoints on that.
And I lean your way on that, Brian. Brooklyn, everybody's got their eye on them. Lost their third straight game last night. 122-111. Didn't have everybody, obviously. Kyrie and James Harden out there. No Kevin Durant. Obviously, Kyrie afterwards said we look very average. My question would be, Brian, are there problems as simple as just getting everybody back healthy, get games under the belt, they're ready for a deep run, or do the problems run deeper than that?
They're 5-1 when the big three play together.
Mm-hmm.
I do think you have to acknowledge that they've only, since the trade, I think there's been 13 games and less than half of them, their full team's been together. So I think you look at that. One of the things that I've tried to do in my career, this is my 18th year covering the NBA, I've tried to not be a stick in the mud and tried not to say, well, just because the game was a certain way when I learned it doesn't mean the game has to be played that way anymore. My instincts tell me you can't win four playoff series, maybe even three playoff series, being the worst defensive team in the league. And they've been the worst defensive team since the trade.
Yep.
You know, in my view, you can't get there if you're not a top 10 or 15 defensive team. But if you look at the way the game is being played now, you know, losing teams are averaging like 48 or 49% shooting in the NBA this year. You know, it's no longer a defensive-based league,
mm-hmm.
Where it was 12, 13 years ago. You may not have to be an elite, you know, even a good defensive team to win a championship anymore. So I don't want to sit here and say the Nets can't win playing this way. I would just say that I think the way they play defense and their approach to defense makes their margin for error shrink way down. It means that they have to play ungodly offense four times out of seven to win games. And I will say that, you know, they still have moves left to make. I know that they've signed some guys, but they're all just sort of also-rans that are on non-guaranteed contracts. They have some maneuvers to make. The buyout season should help them. They may be able to get a player or two that could help them. I'm trying to keep an open mind because offensively they are awesome.
We are, of course, talking to Brian Windhorst, covers the NBA for ESPN.com. Tonight you've got a sort of a snapshot into the future in some ways with the Grizzlies taking on the Hornets, Ja Morant taking on LaMelo Ball. Brian, do you think that one day we'll look up and these two in Ja Morant and LaMelo Ball are the class of the NBA at the guard position? Do you think that's a possibility?
Guys, I've talked to you about how high I am on the Grizzlies' future. It's a bit of a tough sell in this exact moment because since they've come back from their quarantine, they just haven't been the same team. And Ja, you know, he hasn't been the same player over these last four or five games. You know, he's in a bit of a shooting slump. I know he's been frustrated at the officials, not think he's getting the calls and stuff like that. But I'm a huge believer in Ja Morant as a winner. I've had to come around on LaMelo. I just didn't think he could shoot, and I was just really, really skeptical. I'm really skeptical of ball handlers who can't shoot in today's day and age.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at his numbers in Australia, and I was really put off. And you know, Jonathan Givony, who's ESPN's lead draft analyst, and this guy's gone around the world for 15 years. I mean, he was as strong and as high on LaMelo being the number one prospect in the draft. He told me time and time again, and I just had a hard time believing it because I was looking at him shooting 20% on threes in a subpar league. Well, LaMelo has not been that player. Now, his three-point shooting percentage is not that – it's not like otherworldly, but he is a much, much better outside shooter than even his brother was. I mean, the other night – I can't remember who they played – but he went 7 of 12 on threes in the last game. And, mm-hmm. I mean, Lonzo would go a month without making 7 threes his rookie year. So he's a much better shooter, and I never had a doubt about his playmaking ability. So, you know, I mean, the thing is, it's very – the reason I'm excited about Ja is that it is very unusual for a young player in his first two or three years in the league to impact winning and losing. And I would almost say that the biggest difference between Ja and Zion at this point is that Ja, in my view, really impacts winning. He mm-hmm. creates wins the way he plays. Now, he hasn't been doing that these last four or five games, but I see a material difference. Guys, even LeBron. LeBron did it a little bit, but LeBron didn't make the playoffs till his third year. Durant didn't make the playoffs till his third year. It's very unusual to affect winning and losing. I do not think that Zion, for example, affects winning and losing because he gets eaten alive at the defensive end of the mm-hmm. floor, and he's a very limited offensive player. What he does well is amazing. He may be one of the greatest paint scorers in the history of the game, and in fact, he may be one of the greatest, you know, non-center paint score. I mean, it's one thing for Shaq to shoot 60%. You know, it's another thing for a 6'6" guy, which is what he is. If he, you know, he's sniffing around 60% shooting. It's amazing. But I don't know if he affects winning the way Ja does. And that's why I'm a big believer in Ja's future. Well, I kind of see the beginnings of that with LaMelo. He's not there yet, I want to be clear. But I'm sort of seeing how his play will be the difference between winning and losing. And that's really what the NBA comes down to. Do you have a guy that can carry you to a win? You know, one of the games two games I watched last night out west that were very important, Utah versus Boston, Donovan Mitchell carried the Jazz home in that game. Mm-hmm. And I also watched Sacramento, Philadelphia. I was going back and forth between the games. And Joel Embiid, who didn't actually have a terrific game in general, carried the 76ers home in that game. De'Aaron Fox was trying, and he has done that, but he wasn't able to do it in this game. That's the NBA, guys. The NBA is, okay, there's going to be some games where you're going to win because you're the better team or you're hot. There's going to be some games that you lose because the other team is hot and you're off or you're tired or whatever.
Right.
It's what about those 50-50 games? Well, you know, LeBron's won 1,000 50-50 games in his career, 1,000 of them, where we could go either way. And he's like, well, my team has LeBron, and so that means they're going to win. So you got to have that player that can do that. I believe that Ja is that player, and I think LaMelo has the potential to be that player. And for that reason, in my mind, he would be my rookie of the year at this point if I had to vote for it.
Trae Young, I'm glad you brought this up because we want. He's obviously, from an offensive standpoint, much better than Ja. And to your point that he can carry your team, but does he affect winning? I wonder, Brian, does Ja already have that over him? Is Trae, right? Where is he in that process? Where is he on your list of affecting winning, you know, young guards?
It's a spectacular question. I don't know. Some nights, yes. Some nights, no. The defense is a big issue.
Yep.
Okay. The other thing is that Trae doesn't always make his teammates better. Now, I say that, and if you're a Trae Young fan, you're instantly running to YouTube and you're pulling up all these great alley-oops that he's throwing, and you're showing me his assist stats, and I say, okay, you're right. No, I'm not saying he's not. He doesn't do it every night. I don't look at the at the Hawks and say Trae elevates that team.
I agree.
To achieve more than they can. But it's a nuanced thing. You know, if somebody cuts this interview up, they could pull this out and skewer me on it. When I watch the Grizzlies, which I do quite a bit because I like the Grizzlies, I see, and again, I haven't been seeing it lately. I've been a little, to be honest with you guys, I was supposed to write a piece on the Grizzlies this week because Friday they are playing the Lakers on ESPN, and we like to do pieces on teams that are going to play on ESPN. Last week I had a piece on DeAndre Ayton, for example, when they were on ESPN. And I scuttled the piece. I buried it because I just decided this is not the right time to write about the Grizzlies.
They're too shorthanded, to your point. I mean,
it's
hard to judge them.
I don't want to fully evaluate them when they're not at their best.
Exactly.
I've been watching the last few games more closely and, just a little bit off right now. But of course they've had the maximum of like 9 guys available. I mean, Taylor's running lineups out there that are just, he's stitching them together.
No doubt.
And just in general, the Grizzlies have had bad luck for like the last 9 months, dating all the way back to the bubble, that they even had to requalify for the playoffs the way it went. And then JJJ getting injured, and then they finally get going. You know, then Ja starts out like a house of fire this year, sprains his ankle, then they get going, and then the health and safety protocol. I mean, they've gotten one difficult card after another. Basketball karma, you think, will swing back around. But I did scuttle that piece because I just didn't think it was the right time to tell to give a national light spotlight on the Grizzlies, especially guys if they lose tonight and they come into that game on a 5-game
losing streak.
I didn't want to do that. And frankly, the Hornets have been playing pretty well lately. The game's in Memphis tonight, right? I would hope the Grizzlies would bounce back, but I'm going to be honest with you, I'm a little fearful of the way they're playing. Maybe Ja will come back, but I was a little bit scared. I didn't want to write about them on a 5-game losing streak.
Well, now that bench is short too. You know, they didn't have Melton last game. Obviously, didn't have Brandon Clark as well. It's one thing too, Brian. I think people around here get a little bit, you know, frustrated is probably not the word, maybe annoyed a little bit just for what they've been through. But Jaren Jackson, we get, right? You had the surgery. You're going to be cautious. Probably won't see him first half. Maybe you're ready to go through February on that one. But the, you know, last time we were talking to you, we were saying, my gosh, maybe Justice Winslow will be back here shortly. We're still waiting, Brian. It feels like, you know, the longer you go, the more and more it feels like he's not going to be a part of the future. Can't believe there was no surgery on the hip, Brian. Can't believe they're still waiting on him.
I'm not a doctor. I don't understand what's going on. I will say this. You look at the history of guys with hip injuries,
mm-hmm.
there's some really concerning results there. Now, there are guys who have recovered and been great. And it's actually more typically smaller players that have hip injuries that can derail their careers. I'll just give you two right off the top of my head. Speedy Claxton and Johnny Flynn. Both small Isaiah Thomas.
Isaiah.
All three of them had hip injuries, yep. And never were the same. So, but there are other guys, and I mean, I'm sure there are other guys where it's been okay, but it's not great, and it is worrisome. And, you know, the Grizzlies have done such a terrific job on, like, all of these trades, all of these moves that they've made. You go bullet point by bullet point. Like, one of the trades that I, you know, unless you're a Grizzlies fan, you know, you're not going to remember the trade that they made with Kyle Korver. You know, they do the Conley trade, and they get Korver in that trade. Then you remember they flip Korver to the Suns for Jackson and Melton. They turn a guy who essentially was at the end of his career, who didn't want to play there, they turned him into two rotation players. Now, I agree that those guys aren't carrying you a championship, but that's a really good trade.
Absolutely.
And moving up to get Bain, who is a 3-and-D player. Those guys, you can't find those guys walking out on the street, you know? And, you know, obviously, you know, drafting Clark was, you know, that was a really good move. I, you know, they need to come up with another star player.
Yes.
And I don't know. And I actually, to be dead honest with you, and I say this carefully because I love Jaren. Not only do I love him as a player, I love him as a person. I've got a chance to talk to him a few times. I mean, you know, he was raised by a terrific family. He has terrific representation. He makes very good decisions. I almost think that to really be a championship team, the player that they need needs to make Jaren the third best player. You need to find that kind of number two. Most teams need another star player. It's not so, you know, like I can tell you that Zach Lyman can keep hitting singles and doubles with Meltons and Baines of the world, and that's great general managing. For them to get where they need to go, they're going to have to find another star player. But the Winslow trade was not something that they would normally do, and they took a little bit of a gamble on it. And I heard what he said when he made the deal. I understand he doesn't think you can find defenders of that type of versatile defenders. You can't find them easily. Mm-hmm. I agree. And so he took a gamble on that, and you know, you're not going to win them all. You hope that works out. But they actually, they need to figure out a way to get that other star player. And that's why, I mean, I would even say that if they go on a long losing streak, it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world.
Oh, we get it.
This is a
we're with you.
We're trying to get people on board here in Memphis.
People don't want to hear that, Brian, but we're with you on that, quite frankly. Don't think you can lose here, to your point. If it goes that way.
Yeah. The other thing is, guys, this is a good draft. I mean, I don't follow college basketball. I know everybody in Memphis does. So you guys are all going to be way more educated. Like this kid who plays for Gonzaga, I haven't seen him dribble.
Wow.
Dribble. I haven't seen one dribble, okay? Because I got all these NBA games I got to keep track of. I had a scout tell me yesterday the guy reminds me of Jason Kidd, okay?
Yeah.
I don't know. I just know that this draft is good. What I also know is there's nobody tanking. The two worst teams in the league are Detroit and Minnesota, and neither of them were trying to tank. Trust me. Detroit can say whatever they want. They were not trying to tank. They thought they were going to be a playoff-level team.
Mm-hmm.
New York should be tanking, but they're not because they hired Tom Thibodeau. Now they're doing stuff like trading for, they're trading for Derrick Rose.
Yep.
All right?
Yep.
The Thunder, I think, were kind of interested in tanking, but they're just a little bit too good. Sure. And like the path to the tank is wide open. Somebody should take it. Now the problem is that is not who Ja Morant is.
Exactly. Right. Exactly.
That is not who Taylor. That is not who Taylor Jenkins is. You got a whole bunch of young players. You can't do it. But all I'm saying is, it is a good time to have a good shot in this lottery. And the Grizzlies need to find another player. And I mean, not to make the playoffs, but to seriously, you want to seriously talk about trying to compete for a championship?
Exactly.
Yes, that's what,
exactly.
Yes.
You know, and you probably have the one. I really do believe that Ja is the one.
Yep.
But you need the two in my mind. Without being you know, disrespectful at all to Jaren, because I love him, but I do think you need the two.
We could not agree more with you, Brian. And then last thing, this morning, the NBA G League's Ignite team tipped off their first game. Jalen Green, Jonathan Kuminga, a bunch of other guys who went straight from high school to this outfit there in the G League. What's the perception around the league in terms of how successful folks expect this outfit to be in terms of luring top talent year after year after year?
Well, they want to. You know, the NBA is spending money on it. You know, they want to, because what was happening is these kids were going to Australia. You know, Australia was being pretty smart. They were paying these guys money, and they were sort of renting, you know, guys like LaMelo Ball and trying to think who else they had down there.
RJ Hampton.
Right, RJ Hampton. And so they're just trying to get in on that. Frankly, I mean, what they want to do is they want to have another television product that they can compete with college basketball on. So that's why they... the reason the G League bubble's happening is for this Ignite team.
Yep.
You know, yep. I mean, and it's not necessarily because they think that that Jalen Green is the next Michael Jordan, although I've heard his athleticism is crazy. I had a scout compare him to Zach LaVine-level athleticism. Zach LaVine's obviously one of the best athletes in the league. He compared him to Zach LaVine, that kind of athlete. So I would say, if you want to see something going on, that makes me want to watch him play. So they really, really are invested in making this work, just because they want this to be a viable path to take the top players. You know, for a couple of years, they investigated the idea of creating academies, kind of like soccer teams do in Europe, where they find 14-year-olds and they matriculate them up and they have them play with their professional teams, and then when they get to be 18 years old, they pop them right onto their senior team, or they sell them to another team, you know, for, you know, £40 million or whatever. But the NBA did the research in that, and they were like, you know what, we don't want the responsibility of managing teenagers and managing, you know, can they get their math homework done. So this is the way that they're going to do it. They're going to try to capture these guys for their year 18 and try to monetize it. And they're really, really invested in making this pay off. So I think you're going to see them really want this particular first unit. And then whoever, you know, the next year's team, whoever comes along, I think there's going to be a lot of interest in making those guys work as well. Because this isn't, I mean, yes, it's about development. It's about getting your hands on guys early. It's about knowing more about these guys who are going to get drafted so that you have more information. It's all about that. But it's also about a new market that they're trying to capture.
Yep, makes sense to me. Brian, man, great stuff as always. We appreciate
Thank you, Brian.
Your time so much, man. Thanks.
Take care, guys. Have a good week.
Yep.
He is Brian Windhorst, covers NBA for ESPN. And good thoughts there on the Memphis Grizzlies from him. Sees Jaren more as a third piece than a second piece, which will...
But as a piece.
No question, infuriate the masses here in Memphis.
To get something better than Jaren, you're going to have to be pretty high in the draft, no? Because let's be real, I'm with him, but Jaren's pretty special as a third piece, and to get something better than him...
Agreed there.
It's going to be like a top five... There. I mean, he's number four pick. It's going to be a top five-ish pick. I don't know that Grizzlies are going to... They would need some luck. It feels – I don't
– No, I agree with you.
You know what I mean?
Point.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, Jaren certainly one of the best defensive big guys in the league. He has that in front of them. If you're going to get somebody that's the two, and maybe you do offensively, you need that.
Yeah.
it's going to have to be a pretty good player. I don't know if you're going to get that player at 12, 13.
Yeah, no.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if you get that player that low.
You have to go out and make some deals or
get
something.
On up.
You know, I don't know what that would look like, but good stuff. Anyway, from Brian Windhorst.
Absolutely.
Appreciate his time. We will come back. Lots more to come. Jason and John, 90 Turn FM, ESPN.